I threw out the word before, paradoxically, ironically, paradoxically. I want to come back to the word paradox. Paradox may be a difficult word for an historian to use because it sort of suggests that he doesn't understand fully what he's talking about. We have a paradoxical situation here. But in this respect, paradox is the right word to use in describing what we think is going to be, but what actually emerges. No doubt, the ghetto was congested and dirty and humiliating and miserable. I'm not suggesting here that ghettos are great, and certainly the ghetto of Venice and the ghettos that followed in the 16th and 17th century. Indeed, when you look at the Venetian ghetto today, the whole square has been cleared, there's a lot of space, there's a big courtyard and so on. In the 16th and 17th century, it was filled with very high buildings, and everything was closed, and it was dirty, and it was smelly, and there were poor people, and there were beggars, and so on. It wasn't such an idyllic place. On the other hand, there is something to be good to be said about this ghetto experience. What is the opposite of ghetto when one speaks about the ghetto experience in the 16th century? You must recall that by 1492 and 1497, Jews had been expelled from over all of Western Europe. In England in 1290, in France in 1306, in France again in 1384, in Spain in 1492, in Portugal in 1497, in 1569 from the Papal States. In other words, the rule of order, the rule that we know, the norm, so to speak, was indeed to kick out the Jews, to forcefully remove them and to force them to find a new home elsewhere. What does ghetto do? It may be small, it may be dirty, it may be confining, but it is a sense of entitlement. It is saying, the Christians are saying, this is your Jewish space. This is your space within the geography of Christian space. This is your area. You are entitled to live here. Ghetto legitimizes Jewish existence. In other words, the sense of entitlement must be balanced against the notion of expulsion. By offering Jews a place within Christian society, it offered the Jews a new sense of intimacy with Christians, a new sense of belonging and identifying with the outside culture, because the ghetto was indeed right next to, contiguous with Christian space. And thus what emerges is a twofold thing. On the one hand, the possibility for a Jew to feel that he or she belongs, that he or she is part of Christian society, on the one hand. On the other hand, a sense of closeness and intimacy with the larger world, which although meant to protect and separate, indeed, using that image of the condom again, the bad condom, that is, what emerges is indeed a kind of porous boundaries where Jews and Christians go back and forth and learn about each other from close up. Now, what emerges in this society? Let's take a look at some of the products of this remarkable culture. In the 16th century, Jewish culture is transformed, like Christian culture, by print, by the publication of books. The first great printing presses are in Italy, and the greatest printing press of all is in Venice during the period of the ghetto. Indeed, the printing industry is taken over by Christians working in collaboration with Jews, the printing industry of publishing Hebrew books I'm referring to. So what emerges remarkably, even during a period of censorship and burning of books and all kinds of activities that are clearly hurting the Jewish book trade, is the emergence of some kind of collaboration between Jews and Christians and the explosion of the Hebrew word in print. Clearly, that is a product of the ghetto culture. The other aspect we've already mentioned, the university and its great opportunities that are now available for the first time to Jews as well as to Christians. Clearly, a university-trained Jewish doctor has a kind of approach to the world, to his interaction with Jews and Christians, that someone who had not had that experience does not have. Clearly, by creating a group of intellectual elites who are emerging from the university, who are participating in the forum of great learning going on in the university, something has been also transformed in Jewish culture and in terms of Jewish-Christian interaction. In the culture of the ghetto, well-to-do Jews become richer, they become more culturally creative, the emergence of Jewish music we have seen, the conspicuous synagogue art, Baroque poetry, marriage certificates, sumptuous wedding feasts. In other words, as in any urban setting, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer.